A couple months ago, this guy, Deshaun Boston, stepped onto something that looked sort of like a skateboard from the future.
And it was just fun. It was like I was like a kid again. So I'm like, I need one.
Oh, he got one.
Deshaun's actually my neighbor, and I was coming home one day, and I see him zooming down my sidewalk.
And they really do zoom.
He's riding what looks like a sideways skateboard, but it seems to be moving forward just by mind control.
Yeah, I see these everywhere. They're motorized. They're self-balancing.
I don't walk anymore. Ever since I haven't walked anymore. I take it everywhere I go.
What does it feel like when you're, like, you're going down the sidewalk, there's all these suckers just walking, and you're on this, you're on this board? What's that feel like?
I feel like I'm on a hoverboard.
Hoverboard.
Hoverboard's actually one of the most common names for the thing.
But people don't really know what to call them. I've heard it called a smart board.
Deshaun prefers Skywalker.
The name on it is really a swagway. That's the actual name of it, but it's called a Skywalker.
Or if you want to be technical, it is a hands-free, two-wheeled, self-balancing scooter. Although I admit swagway is a better name.
If this were a normal product, you could just call up the manufacturers or whoever invented it originally, ask them, what do you call this thing?
You wouldn't even need to ask. There would be ads everywhere, logos everywhere. We would all know the name of the thing.
But that's what's so weird about this swag, sky, hover, stick, whatever.
Scooter thing.
The origin is a complete mystery.
Where do they come from?
I'm not too, I don't know.
We don't know either. There appears to be no original hoverboard that was ripped off by a thousand generics. They all seem to be generics, and they just came out of nowhere. Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Robert Smith, here today with reporter Audrey Quinn, who brought us this story. Welcome.
Hey, Robert.
And today on the show, we send you, Audrey, out to find who invented the hoverboard scooter.
And by the way, we bought one.
All right, you gonna try it?
All right, I'm going to try it. Oh, my. No. It's like stepping on a pet.
Support for Planet Money and the following message come from NatureBox.com, dedicated to making smart, delicious snacking easy. Part food brand, part data-driven tech company, NatureBox's proprietary algorithm will help you discover your next favorite snack. Just tell them what you like, sweet, spicy, vegan, non-GMO, and their algorithm will provide personalized recommendations, like Big Island Pineapple and spicy Sriracha Roasted Cashews. Visit naturebox.com/money and get 50% off your first box now.
First, a language warning, especially if you have small children in the room. For the sake of simplicity, we are going to call them hoverboards. Yes, I know, you saw Back to the Future. It's not a true hoverboard. It doesn't ride on air. But please, don't write us to complain. We're just going to call it a hoverboard.
All right, so I want to buy a hoverboard. How do I do it?
You just come by over here and pick which one you want. We have three models. You got the basic, you have the Transformer, the one that looks like the Lamborghini, and you have the Bluetooth model.
I went to a hoverboard pop-up shop. It's this open storefront on a busy Manhattan street. The salesman told me the brand does not matter. They're all the same.
I'm going to put them in the bag for you. We're going to get you set it up. All right? Get you good to go. Welcome to the hoverboard life.
The hoverboard life. I take it these things didn't come with tags on them telling you exactly where they came from.
No. And I asked the sales guy if he knew where they came from. He says he gets them from an importer in L.A. Where's the importer guy in L.A. get them from? He said he wasn't sure, just somewhere in China.
So as part of this quest, it was mandatory for us to ride around the office for, what, 3, 4, 5 hours?
There was no work getting done.
No. This was work, because the plan was for us to pry this hoverboard apart and look inside, see where the parts came from.
I brought our hoverboard to this place called Tomorrow Lab. It's this big loft space with all these workbenches, a whole room full of tools, drawers upon drawers of electronics parts.
These guys take things apart for a living.
Sad?
I'm really sad.
Are you worried that we're not going to put it back together?
Yeah, like what if it's never the same?
It probably won't be.
Ted Ulrich and Pepin Gilardi are industrial designers. That means they like to figure out how things work, figure out how to make them better, and they were super excited to get inside of our hoverboard.
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa.
That is the sound of people seriously geeking out on these cool motors inside the wheels. There's a big lithium-ion battery in there, a bunch of wires, some writing, not surprisingly, in Chinese.
And Pepin doesn't speak Chinese, but he's spent a good deal of time in China, especially in this one industrial city called Shenzhen.
Shenzhen is famous for its cell phones. You're probably listening to this show on a device made in Shenzhen.
And the parts in the hoverboard looked familiar to Pepin.
Having been to the Shenzhen electronic market, I think you can find, like, all of these things on, like, the first floor. Like, it's. I think what's really surprising about it is how simple it is.
Okay, so we can narrow it down to a tiny little city of Shenzhen, which is, what, 10 million people?
10 to 15 million.
Okay. And why not just call up the one hoverboard maker in Shenzhen?
I tried. So I went on the Chinese manufacturing website Alibaba.
Which is like Amazon.com. Yep.
I searched for two-wheel hoverboard scooter Shenzhen. I found over 1,200 different hoverboard suppliers in Shenzhen.
So it's time to stay up late and call them.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me? Hello?
So I started reaching out to these hoverboard manufacturers. I got in touch with a bunch of their sales reps.
You can hear me?
And they all told me pretty much the same thing. They didn't know who made the first hoverboard. They all just started making them about 2 years ago.
Now, it's tempting to think that, like, these are just salespeople, so of course they wouldn't know. But the more we talked about it around here, the more a different possibility came up. Maybe this is one of those scenarios where there literally is no inventor.
Which is really hard to believe. But you have to understand how these smaller factories in Shenzhen work. And by smaller, I mean like 100 to 200 people. They got their start making knockoff cell phones. And now a lot of them have started making products of their own. And how they do this is through this super collaborative network. I called this engineer, Bunny Huang. He's based in Singapore. He gets a lot of his stuff made in Shenzhen.
These guys started out as line engineers, right, who learned more about their stuff. They were maybe working for Western companies like Nokia or whatever the day, and they say, my boss is an idiot. I quit, right? I'm going to start my own company because I can do it better than they can.
They do it better by being super specialized. It's crazy. There's like hundreds of factories just for wheels, hundreds of factories for circuit boards, hundreds of factories for motors. And even though everyone makes their own thing, they're not possessive about their ideas. Their design plans, they just post them up on online bulletin boards. Nobody worries about who had the idea first.
Just, you know, you give me an idea, I take an idea, and then you may have more ideas, I go to you for more business, is the network.
That's just so counter to the U.S. kind of patent system, right? Like,
it's like bartering ideas. You're bartering ideas is exactly right. And it's not like people are like, you know, I can't be assigned rights to this patent. Forget about it. I don't want to build phones. I'm going to farm rice instead because I have no incentive to innovate, right?
If anything, the people in Shenzhen are spurred to innovate faster.
And here's the way that they could have come up with something like a hoverboard spontaneously. I called up David Lee. He's an entrepreneur. He runs an innovation lab in Shenzhen. And he says this sort of process usually starts at a bar or maybe a dinner party.
You sit down at a dinner with 15 people.
These 15 people are from the factories that build, say, wheels, motors, circuit boards. And at these dinner parties, there usually is a lot of drinking.
You drink, you get drunk, and
then you start talking about all the cool stuff you could make, like maybe a Segway without that dorky handlebar part.
And next morning, people wake up and some of them will just go and do it.
And that's what makes a new product? You come up with all these features when you're drunk?
Yeah, well, they talk about the features when they are drunk. And next morning, after handover, some of them actually remember it.
I wish my nights out with friends were that productive.
Yeah.
The thing that I love about this is that these manufacturers just go out and do it. They don't try and figure out who came up with the idea first. It's just one group of people saying, I got wheels, I got motors, I got circuit boards, put them together. Boom, it sells.
Like, to me, it almost seems like magic that a full product could emerge from a collection of parts. Like, how is that possible?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what they say about evolution, right?
That's what they say about evolution, right.
Yeah, but even in evolution, things have to come out of something else. There has to be some sort of family tree. And I don't know if this makes me some sort of like technological creationist or something, but I still suspect that somebody had the spark of an idea of a hoverboard first.
You are not alone in that suspicion. I've been talking with those Chinese hoverboard sales reps, and I got in touch with this woman, Vicky Wong. She works for a company called Shenzhen Rinri Power Technology Company Limited. Any idea who was first?
There's a Chinese guy, but he is in America now.
There's a Chinese guy, but he's in America now.
I know his Chinese name, but I'm not sure his English name.
She messaged me later. His English name is Shane Chen.
Shane Chen. We have a name.
Google Shane Chen, and you find a guy who lives outside of Portland, Oregon, a Kickstarter campaign, and this video.
The Hover Trax is built for fun and transport. You can use it at the park, to get around school, a warehouse, or even the airport. The idea behind
There's totally a woman with a plaid shirt, of course, that's outside of Portland, riding on this little thing that looks almost exactly like our hoverboard. Except it's called Hover Trax, which is an even better name, right?
It is. It's a little bit smaller than our hoverboard, a little bit simpler looking. But the important thing here is look at the date.
Where's the date?
May 2013.
And?
Okay, I can't prove this, but I went into a bit of a YouTube wormhole on two-wheeled self-balancing scooters.
And?
They do not exist before May 2013.
Shane Chen is the missing link.
That's what I was thinking, so I called him up.
My name is Shane Chen. I'm a kind of inventor, just, you know, invent for a living.
Shane is not about this Shenzhen system. He is your classic inventor. Think about something you might have dreamed up in high school science class. Shane has invented that. He's got a product that skips across water, some roller skates with extra wheels on them. Shane left China in the mid-80s. He came to the U.S. He wanted an environment that was more welcoming to a guy who wanted to own his own ideas.
Well, I have ideas like daily, sometimes hourly.
Did you have any ideas today?
Yes.
Can you tell me?
Probably not a good idea to do that.
He says it was 2011 when he got the idea for the Hover Trax. He patented it, he made a prototype, he put up the Kickstarter with the video. And this video? He thinks the Chinese manufacturers may have seen it, copied the Hover Trax to make their hoverboards.
They looked a little different, but still using the same concept.
Okay, same concept. But we're really curious, like, is it the same inside? And that's why we decided to pry apart our precious, precious hoverboard.
We took Shane's patent, took a look at that, looked at some diagrams of his Hover Trax on the Kickstarter campaign. And what he has inside the Hover Trax, there's a lithium-ion battery.
And that's in ours, obviously.
There's also motors inside the wheels.
Yeah, which we talked about, yeah.
And then to keep the whole thing up, there's these complicated little parts called gyro sensors.
Which is like a gyroscope, which if anyone's played with it, helps determine direction, right?
Yeah, something like that. Maintains balance. So our big question for Ted and Pepin in the lab was, how did the Planet Money scooter balance?
When I saw it, I assumed that it was like doing it gyroscopically. Right. So like a Segway. Yeah.
But I don't think it is. I don't think that there's any accelerometry or gyroscopetry.
Are we sure that these guys are legit gyroscopetry?
Regardless, it wasn't in there. What was in there instead was two switches underneath each foot pad. One that directed movement forward, one that directs movement back.
That's weird. Like, that's really weird and it's really cool. Because, like, by creating that little loop, you've now achieved everything that's in the Segway, which is a very complicated system with a lot of smarts in it. And you've sort of short-circuited it and like, utilized some, like, kind of natural physical feedback loop that a human being is able to figure out.
It looks like the Chinese manufacturers figured out a different way to do the same thing as the Hover Trax.
But I guess there's still the question of whether the Chinese stole it from Shane. You know, this could be one of those things like they call it convergent evolution, right? You know, birds fly, insects fly, but they're not related. They both came up with flying in a different way. So I guess there is a possibility that everyone in Shenzhen and Shane came up with the idea of the hoverboard simultaneously.
This is usually something that would get settled in a court of law. And Shane did try suing some of these hoverboard manufacturers.
And I imagine at the time, like, he is trying to build his company. He's trying to make these hover tracks. You know, he's got to design a box and a logo. He's got to set up his whole manufacturing thing.
Yeah, he didn't get very far because by then there were hundreds and hundreds of these manufacturers making their own hoverboards.
They beat him to market.
Yep, and he blames himself.
I'm not very good at business person, not very good at marketing.
You know, it's amazing. For hundreds of years, we've had this patent system, and we often debate around here whether patents are a good thing or a bad thing and how long patents should last. But now it seems like the cycle of manufacturing is getting so fast that this question becomes, in some cases, irrelevant. I mean, if hundreds of factories can swarm on your idea, they can make it better, they can sell it before you can, I guess it's like a Zen question, right? Does it matter if you even invented it? Because they've already beaten you.
And by the time you get a lawsuit decided, everyone will have moved on to the next toy, maybe a true hoverboard. No wheels, all air.
See, just by you saying that, you're probably going to get ripped off. Already there are manufacturers in Shenzhen working on that. By the time the podcast is over, you'll be just like Shane. You'll be out of the money.
Yeah, but Shane's doing all right. His hover tracks, he's selling it online. And he's partnered with Razer. They're the makers of those popular kids' scooters. They're going to give him money for some of his ideas.
So he gets something out of it.
And here's the part that gets me. He says that he's actually kind of excited to see how big these knockoff hoverboard scooters have gotten.
Even if no one is ever going to call it a hover tracks, which is clearly the best name.
I'm telling you, the cool kids in my neighborhood, they call it Skywalker.
Just to make sure, like, it is working. They did put it back together.
Mostly.
Wait, there's four extra screws here.
Four extra screws.
They're small, so they probably, you'll hear a rattle.
Yeah.
I am totally aces at this thing now. I'm just going to zip around the Planet Money newsroom. You know, we always like to hear what you think of today's show. Alex Goldmark, senior producer, tell them how to do it.
You're looking good. Okay, people can get in touch by emailing us at planetmoney@npr.org or tweet us at planetmoney.
Yeah, I gotta go because I'm zipping. Hey, Stacey Vanek Smith, tell me who produced today's show.
Hi, Robert. Wasn't it Nick Fountain?
Oh, yeah, I can just zip over there. 1 second. Nick, oh, sorry. Nick, you're the producer. Cut that part. Tell everyone what they should listen to now that they're done with Planet Money.
One of our favorite podcasts around these parts is Ask Me Another. It's a really
fun...
They work here in our office. It's a really funny trivia show. I saw it live just a few weeks ago. You can get it on iTunes, of course, wherever you get your podcasts, npr.org/podcasts or the NPR One app.
Well, I'm not getting back on this thing. Audrey, take it away for the end of the show.
I'm Audrey Quinn.
Okay. And I'm Robert Smith. Thanks for listening. You're going like 1 inch an hour there.